Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. It's a great honor.
You are listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. Call in to live News for the Soul shows daily for intuitive coaching, readings, numerology, leading-edge health information, and much, much more with featured hosts from around the world. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com.
It's time for The Light Doctor with Dr. Susan Jameson. Dr. Jameson is an MD, an energy medicine doctor, and a medical intuitive who combines the very best of Western and Eastern therapies. Known as The Light Doctor, she trained in Scotland and Harvard, and now practices in Hong Kong. Let's welcome The Light Doctor, Dr. Susan Jameson, back to News for the Soul.
Thank you very much. It's lovely to be talking to you guys. And today we're going to be talking about hope and light in the new year, trying to transcend this chaotic world that has seemed to increase in the U.S. in the last 48 hours, right? Everything's turning around, the world's going a bit crazy, but we have to keep our core and try and keep our, you know, our human inner ability to be peaceful and full of hope. So as my guest, I have Pamela Wallace, who is two things that are, I'm sure, very similar, a success manager and a worship leader in the church here in Hong Kong. So welcome, Pam.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
So what do you think about this topic of light and hope this year of 2021?
I think it's a perfect topic to start any year, but I think it's even more exceptionally important coming out of 2020 into 2021, maybe not quite as smoothly as we all had hoped and anticipated, right?
It's a, yes, unfortunate start. I mean, I'm being focused on U.S. news, but probably be unfortunate in lots of places that we don't even hear about because, you know, we only hear about the important parts of the world generally in the news.
Mm-hmm. That's very true.
Yeah. And I'm also thinking about the people of Ethiopia and all these third world countries that, and, you know, I guess this is all these people who also need to have hope who possibly don't listen to this show, but who knows? Because they have access to radio, so maybe they do.
You never know.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, as a physician, you know, I spend my life seeing more and more anxious people, and it's getting quite stressful for me because they're all anxious in different ways and sort of maybe try not to be, but they are. And I'm wondering what I can do to help them practically. So have you any suggestions, either from personal experience or from the Christian background?
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, I guess I'll start to say, as always, and I'm sure you're similar to me, that I'm reluctant to say there's one answer for everybody, mainly because we're all in different places, mentally, spiritually, et cetera. But in terms of hope and peace and light, I believe that it's there for all of us. You know, as you know, I'm a Christian, so I have a deeply rooted faith in Jesus and God. And I'm very, very, every day, I really try to take my concerns and lay them before Him and talk to Him. I know there's a greater power that's there to really comfort us and bring us peace. But at the very same time, I'm really happy to hear that some of your clients, when they can't maybe cross that bridge themselves, are really taking the time to reach out to people like you, and it's certainly in the church and the ministry, different counselors. I think it's also important that if there's a time that you feel like you're overwhelmed and you can't always do it by yourself, it's awesome that people come to you or even log into a place like this just to try to step into some peace and get some ideas, maybe just to help cross over.
That's so true because, you know, it's been proven scientifically that once you find a bit of tranquility or peace, let's say, you could think of it in terms of your brainwaves slowing down, you know, the alpha waves rather than the beta waves. In other words, the frequency of your being is just slowed and at the perfect, you know, when we're in that state of alpha waves, it's actually resonating with the core resonance of the earth, the human resonance. You know, I'm afraid as a light doctor, I always think of light and electromagnetic energy, you know, and this is the way I perceive the universe. So when we you know, Jesus often mentioned it in all his parables. He was always talking about the earth and, you know, in a very real way, like he really knew it. And more than like you maybe a carpenter's son or would know it just from being on the earth, but in a very real way. And I see this as this deep connection because we're the children of the earth as well as other things. So point is that when you're in a calm state, your brain, maybe 5 hertz, that means 5 cycles per second, frequency of the core resonance, 5 to 9, or of the human resonance of the earth, somehow we access information, creativity, ideas, as you say, that will just get us out of a dark situation. So very, very important to have an ability to connect. And I get the higher source too, because we're little bodies here on the planet. And I think we all know there's a bigger energy afoot. You know, the one that causes earthquakes, the one that makes miracles happen. And miracles happen all the time. I call them mini miracles. In my office, they happen probably every day, but one kind of ignores them, sadly, because one gets used to those things. You know, so yeah, to connect to a higher source, and I'm also, Jesus is real to me also. And it's fine if, you know, I think everyone accepts that he's a significant historical figure, but, you know, but more obviously more than that, he was a significant figure for a reason, wasn't he?
Oh, well, as you know, absolutely, yeah. I believe that. You know, as a Christian, we believe he's the light of the world, and certainly he paved the path for some radical ideas. You know, back then when he first walked the earth, the things he was saying about light and love and turn the other cheek, love one another as I have loved you, the greatest command he gave us was that. And that was really radical at the time if you think back to that era. So I believe, you know, even as a Christian or even if you're not, he really has some wise words that can help us really understand how to deal with chaos in this world in terms of peace, in terms of not letting it affect us, in terms of just taking a breath, loving one another, trying not to judge, you know, judge not lest you be judged. These are all great words no matter where you are in your life and your belief.
Well, that's so true, Pam, and it's been a bit rebranded now in this, what's it called, the energy you give out basically is the energy you're going to get back. You know, that's what we would call it. And it's so true, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I have so many amazing experiences of that.
Mm-hmm.
June, just like the really silly example is I was in Scotland and I had a cup of coffee on the sidewalk. And that's the only place in Scotland where everyone takes a credit card nowadays. They don't want to touch cash. Only place, of course, that, you know, only took cash. And I just didn't have any, and I'm really embarrassed by this. This is my hometown, but still, I hate that sort of thing, you know, not having cash to pay for something. And he looked like a tramp, to be quite honest. I'm going to say that at the next table. Just turned around and said, I'll pay for her coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And I just couldn't believe it because it's never happened to me before. And also, only a few hours before, I just decided to give this tramp like 20 US on the street, right? I was just passing him, and I just, maybe it was the day before, I guess, because I didn't have any money, but it was really close.
Mm.
It was extraordinary.
It is.
Just so what you give out comes back in different ways, and go around being angry, judging other people, that's what will reflect to you.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. He paid it forward.
They call it the law of attraction, isn't it? And it's very popular nowadays, but Jesus was actually talking about those things 2,000 years ago.
He was indeed.
Yeah, and light, you know, was the light, or the guiding light, as well as, the light of God.
Absolutely. The light shines in the darkness.
Yeah, it's a big thing with me because, you know, a small candle will illuminate a dark room, but you don't get the darkness darkening a bright room.
No, it's a great analogy.
Yeah.
An excellent analogy that we have to remember. And that light can shine from us into situations in our lives.
Yeah.
It can shine from us into situations in the world. But, you know, just on a day-to-day basis, if we are approaching it with that light, with that love, trying to just set aside judgment, everything in our lives will get better. And it will help the people around us. I mean, it's just the ripple effect.
Absolutely. So what we're recommending in practical steps already is, and really quite a lot already, we've talked about the ripple effect and the kindness and what we give out and lack of judgment will come back to us. I mean, on a superficial level, it also makes us feel better, so that's always a good thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I love giving things probably because it makes me feel better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big giver.
What's your love language?
Probably,
yeah.
I think giving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, giving. Yeah, it is actually. And then we said about being calm and having serenity. And then a greater force, because we are little human beings trying to cope. My dog's trying to cope with the idea right now that she can't go out and play with the other dogs. but, so I do think we have to remember, we think we're so important all the time, and we're burdened by these responsibilities and worries. And, you know, business is failing, and how are we going to manage?
Yeah, or maybe even not that we think we're important, but we think that things won't happen if we don't do
it. I think I'm very important, Pat. I just got to tell you that right now. I am. I just can't help it. But actually, no, I know you're right. So I think I feel very responsible and important in people's lives, but that's only action-based.
Right.
You know, you worry when... You worry that you have to do everything on your own.
Right, exactly. And it can be a big burden. My husband was just grumping at me a little bit this morning because, you know, I have, as you know, children in their early 20s. And I was saying, well, I need to do this for my son. He goes, no, you don't. Sometimes you need to let them do it themselves as well. Like, we help them. We impart things into their lives. But then, you know, I'm sure there's probably parents listening as well, or even if you're not a parent, you're helping people. But sometimes we are helping people by letting them help themselves as well.
That's a hard one to remember. I must say, I always tend to want to do absolutely everything for people, simply because I can.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a very hard one to back off, isn't it? So right now we've got people, I'm sure, with just worried about the future. Will there ever be a future for them? You know? What can we say about that, do you think? Any tips on hope, basically hope?
Well, I guess I always go back to my faith, because in my Christianity, I know that Jesus has already won. And as we kind of say in Christianese, my bags are packed. So if for some reason God said, Pam, it's time to come home today, I'm good, because I'm going to be in heaven with him.
What do you say about the bags being packed?
That means I'm ready to go. If it's time to go, I know that I've lived my life the best I can. And, I hope I can live to be old and gray and see grandbabies, obviously, but when I say my bags are packed, I'm comfortable with where I'm at in my faith and my life, and I know that I'll spend eternity in heaven. Your dog is so cute, by the way. But in terms of that, for me, that's where my hope comes from. I know that I will spend eternity with the Lord. But in the meantime, in terms of people who are really not hopeful, it can be for lots of reasons. If it's what's going on in the world, goodness, I don't know that in our lifetime, Susan, it's ever been like this. So I can totally see that. But I would basically say that we need to understand that there's only so much we personally can do in our lives, and to do what we can do.
Do what we can do is, you know what, focus on the present. So a big element of mindfulness there, I think. Focus on the present, and if you can afford to have a cup of coffee, perhaps you're a lucky person.
Yes.
And without worrying about whatever, you know, your future earning capacities, business, job prospects, a roof over your head. You're perhaps a lucky person. Yeah, but, you know, it's unprecedented, as everyone says at the moment. But every 50 years or so, is that right? Something like that. There's a war, you know. And our generation hasn't gone through that.
I was thinking about that.
Big things.
You know, my father was born in 25. So, you know, he served in World War II. They lived through the Great Depression. Then Vietnam,
Huge things.
And this was, you know, in America. And you're exactly right. I mean, I was born right as the Vietnam War was ending. So you're right. We haven't really gone through this.
Yeah.
And what does that say? Maybe it's that this is a way for us to really learn how to deal with it and maybe not get too comfortable in all of it. I mean, there's
predictable lifestyle.
You know, you're right. We could go down so many, many trails with this conversation. We've really been in our era quite blessed.
Well, we have. And I suppose if you're a 20-year-old, 30-year-old listening to this, it's so shocking. But at least we remember, you know, our parents' war stories, our grandparents anyway. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I know everyone talks about these influenza plagues and all that, but there's been lots of things on quite a regular basis in the earth that we just cope with, and we get over it, and we cope with.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, people in the war did die, and it was absolutely terrible, just like it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it's terrible, but we coped and we survived. I really think humans are incredibly resilient.
I agree. Do you feel like, Susan, maybe because of this long stretch of, you know, and again, there's lots of bad things happening on the planet. I don't want to undermine that. But do you feel like in this first world culture, because of this long stretch of prosperity and relative not problems that we've gotten, maybe a little weaker, and that's why people are struggling more? What do you think?
I do agree. I think we've got no concept of difficulty. It's not that life was fantastically easy for everyone, but it was kind of predictably stepwise. You had a career, this would happen, that would happen. You got a mortgage. It was pretty predictable since the Second World War.
It is.
You know, so we all learn how to cope, and it's, I'm not going to talk about the benefits of this, but community-mindedness, a little bit more kindness to your neighbor and thinking, cooking at home was such a silly example, isn't it? But, you know, just we just learn different things.
We do. And I don't want to undermine people who are suffering. I really don't. You know, I'm sure you and I are on the same page. If you're really out there struggling and you know, we don't want to be sound flippant and say, get over it, because that's not at all what we're trying to say. And again, if you really...
Any more than you would say if someone was killed in the Vietnam War,
right.
Well, this is all good for you. And of course, it's appalling. Yeah.
Of course not, but it does help us give some perspective, I think, in terms of what's happened historically in mankind and how can we learn from people who have overcome significant problems and use that in wherever we are in our lives, right?
And to find peace, I mean, you may have a religion, be a Muslim, a Buddhist, a Christian. These are the big faiths, right, really help people in the community way, strengthening it, and also in the real way, the actual faith is, you know, what's going to help you connect to your peace. Maybe your spouse has just died of COVID or you're very, very frightened, and this helps people. However, if you don't go down that path, meditation and breathing exercises I find really valuable. And I'm just going to say that, you know, apps are everywhere for meditation nowadays. It's been such a revolution, which is great. However, the basic thing to do is to sit for 20 minutes in peace with your eyes closed and focus on your breathing and just try not to let thoughts go in and out of your mind. And once you do this, you'll find that you get better at it. I do light meditation, so I'm going to lead one towards the end of the program because you can either try and not have any thoughts, and of course thoughts will come in, so you just don't worry about that. Don't give yourself a hard time. You let them go again. Or you can focus on one thing, and I tend to focus on light. So sometimes focusing the mind is easier than trying to empty the mind. And then we have guided meditations, which are the ones that carry you off in a balloon into space or into a beautiful garden. And that's, again, something that distracts the mind, which is really useful. Because what you're trying to do in that instance is just transcend your anxieties and habitual thoughts by just simply giving the mind a rest, thinking about something else. And miraculously, in doing so, it appears we do connect to something greater than ourselves. And we're not going to know exactly what that greater thing is, but I think everyone would agree there is something greater than our bodies. And one of my interests is our body's connection to this in consciousness. And a little tip here, we have 5 million magnetic crystals per gram in our brain. So gram is a very small thing. One teaspoonful of sugar is about 5 grams. So 5 million magnetic crystals per gram in our brain. And I would suggest that, you know, well, everyone knows now about barcodes. They know about magnetic chips, silicon chips, right? Carrying information. It's all information. So it seems to me extremely, well, why would God give us this if it wasn't doing something, right? So this is likely to be our connection to those with greater forces and like a little sixth sense that somehow by toning down the other senses and not thinking so much, which takes a lot of energy, we can activate these magnetic crystals in our brains subconsciously and connect. And, you know, people connect in different ways, right? They're, you know, all branches of Christianity, they have charismatic churches, they talk in tongues, do different things. And then there's the praying and the getting advice from prayers. And then there's the meditating and connecting to the earth, the shamanistic way. People have different ways of connecting. And what interests me is that human bodies are hardwired to that. It's actually in our bodies already. So we just have to facilitate it by our practice. And really trust and believe in that practice. Know that it's, you know, we didn't invent the wheel here, that it's been done before us, which is the nice thing about, I think of Jesus more than the Christian church, to be honest, Pam. I don't know why, but, you know, I always think I'm actually, I had a weird experience. Do you want to hear it?
Sure.
It's really weird.
Okay.
I hope my viewers like this. It's quite off the wall. Okay, so I have a practice that maybe Christians wouldn't approve of, but it's my gift. I'm a trans medium, so I, well, you know, a lot of people believe that discarnate entities, if you die and you don't go to the light, you maybe you've been murdered or maybe you're upset about your death for some reason, that your spirit is getting, you know, it is wandering a bit unhappily. So I don't know if that's true or not, but what I do know is that I'm woken up in the middle of the night. I used to be exactly the same time by something. My house was quite near a graveyard, as it happens. And in Hong Kong, we have this expression called hungry ghosts. There is a story coming out of this. Sorry, it's a bit of a long one. It's called hungry ghosts, which are disconnected entities. So the Chinese really believe this. And I talked to my friend about it, who's a Chinese master, and she said, oh, yes, the hungry ghosts. And you've got to release them to the light. So she's a Chinese master, and we're in Hong Kong. She said, Wong Tai Sing. Wong Tai Sing is a major kick-ass Chinese warrior god, right? She said, ask Wong Tai Sing to do it for you. He'll do it. And, okay. I didn't know anything about those things. So I found that very effective when I made it a clear contract that I didn't have the energy for this as well. I said, I don't mind being of service in the world, but I need my sleep. And Wong Tai Sing would help me do it. So that was years back. Fast forward to backpacking through Sweden about 10 years ago. I'm going up through Stockholm in a train, and I had to get up really early for this train. It's a touristic train. It's not a normal one. So I stayed the night in this place called Mora, M-O-R-A, in the middle of Sweden. And this is a really lovely story. I love this one. My best story, actually. And I have magical stories. I thought it'd be nice, but it wasn't. You know what I mean? There was a Hell's Angels convention there, and I love motorbikes. Yeah, middle of Sweden.
Oh my goodness!
They go everywhere. I love motorbikes and stuff. I actually love that. But they weren't very nice and friendly to me. I was really upset about that.
They were not.
No, because I'm all on my own and all. I want to be sociable. So I stayed in this kind of this place the night to get up early. I didn't have a good night's sleep at all. And I thought, I can't believe this is happening again. I've been woken up again. This is like a few years back. And I kind of knew the feeling. So I thought, okay, I'm going to sit up. I'll holiday now. Sit up and meditate. And ask for Wong Tai Sing automatically. Out of nowhere, Jesus popped up. Out of nowhere. Because I was much more a practicing Hindu at that time than a Christian.
Interesting.
And like it was him, right? And I'm not going to be. I'm like, whatever, you know, that's fine. Thanks for doing the job. Back to sleep. Because I'm pretty much like
thank
that.
You, Lord.
Yeah, thanks for that. But obviously he came. And we can talk about why that would be later. But
okay.
So then I've got, you know, next day, get up early to go on the train. Didn't have any restaurant cars to get coffee or anything. But much to my relief, they said, we're stopping to get coffee at 11 o'clock. And I thought, oh, this would be like the train was. I thought this would be like, you know, some lovely Swedish hotel. This is what would have happened in Scotland when we go in and we get breakfast or something. You know, it was a touristic train. Anyway, the train stopped with some trestle tables at the side of the road. And that's a coffee and flask, so that's fine. I get off the train and these young men are walking towards me and say hi, they're getting on the train. We're going to the right to the north of Sweden. Interestingly, a village called Hell, because it was quite, we all wanted tickets to Hell. You know, the train went through Hell, right? So I met the young men, and one of them had a lovely crystal in his hand. I said, wow, that's a really nice pink quartz you got there. He said, yeah, I just picked it up on the track, and it's for you, Susan. And we had introduced ourselves, he knew my name. I'm like, oh, that's really nice. So we all got on the train together. We're now friends. And they told me, because I said, did you get a good night's sleep in that place? I said, I was getting around to, like, what could have happened there for all these discarnate entities. And they said, no, it wasn't good at all. And I said, but there wasn't a war or anything that happened there, was there? Being dead bodies. They said it was the center of witch burning for Sweden. This was the center of witch burning for Sweden. And anyway, the story continues, but I think I can finish it there. So what would you say about that story?
In terms of Jesus coming?
Yeah.
Well, I think he's there if we need him. I
can even ask for him.
Well, sometimes he just pops in. I mean, we've got stories all through the Bible where Jesus shows up or God shows up. You know, Paul on the road to Damascus. I mean, there's lots of great stories where he just out of the blue shows up and changes your life. Does that surprise you?
Well, it's like, yeah, because I asked for a long time saying that was what I've been taught. And then something different happened. But just what I wondered is, Wong Tai Sing is a big thing in Hong Kong, but in Sweden, it is a Christian place.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a big thing there. I couldn't help but thinking that the consciousness of the people in Sweden is more Jesus-orientated. Therefore, there's more energy of Jesus. Therefore, I connected to it. That's what I'm thinking. But that's making me at the center of it, which is maybe not the case.
He's there. If we ask, if you call on him, he's there. And it sounds like you know that already, though, just listening to you talk about connecting with our Creator.
Maybe I need to do a bit more of it. And maybe we all do, right? Even if it's not Jesus, we need to trust in the fact that in the core, our core selves, we can trust in, well, yeah, we can trust in the universe, our Creator. I mean, absolutely, just do more of that. And considering I have had that experience, that was quite miraculous.
That's a great story.
It's a crazy story on different levels. Like the young man, they turned out to be my guard dogs, by the way. The story continues, but in a crazy way.
Yeah. Something you said is that I've always marveled at over the years is even if you go, say, into a jungle where people have never met anybody from outside civilization, do you notice they are always worshiping something? It's always. It's in our DNA. You've mentioned that a couple of times. I just find that fascinating.
Yeah. Well, I think there's been a book written about that. We're hardwired for this, actually. And it's nothing to do with psychology, which people would tend to see it was. They try and minimize it that way. Well, we like to think we've been looked after by a father figure kind of thing. It's not that. We are hardwired for it.
I agree.
You know, our DNA produce light, photons of light, only been discovered scientifically in the last decade. We produce light. I mean, we are made in the image of our Creator. We radiate light. We produce it. And we, you know, my light meditation I do because it's been proven by Dr. Michael Persinger in Canada that when we think about light, our brain actually radiates more. So it's, well, they did the studies on the brain. It's probably whole-bodied, right? I'm not just saying it's the brain that does all this work. This is totally whole-bodied because there's DNA in every cell. And I never thought of this before because it's a bit weird, but don't they say that DNA are sort of bacterial? They're like little aliens in us almost. So it's almost like we have something very superior inside us that one could say is in the image of the creator or, you know, something really special and that's doing the real work.
Mm-hmm.
The real work. You know, the synchronicities we talk about that are so common in life. The thinking of phoning your mother just as she phones you, that sort of thing, simple little things. But what is that all about? That must be a connection. There must be something happening there or it wouldn't be happening.
We're connected for sure.
We're connected.
We are. We can't deny it.
How many times have you thought about something you wanted to do and then you met the right person or it landed on your lap?
Mm-hmm. All things are possible.
And a friend of mine when I said that, because they're very good at manifesting. And this is what we nowadays call manifesting, right? Of doing that, getting what you need at that moment in time. Simple things even, like I need a mail file and just find one on a counter in an airport.
That really needs to happen more often for me. I need to
work
on that.
You got to get the mail file fairy on you. Mail file fairy. And I did pray to the parking fairy too. I used to want to have a car anyway. Because it worked. It really worked. And I believe that's the thing about intention. You just intend there would be a space. Like we made an intention today when we started this show. So intentions, you know, we didn't invent this, did we? So anyway, my friend was saying, she believes one really important thing is never to talk badly about anyone, which is very easy to do. It is easy, isn't it?
It's easy to talk badly, you mean, about people?
Well, or critical, or I know better, or I don't know, just not so easy to do.
Oh, a gossiping tongue is so, it can really hurt people, and we don't realize it. You're right. And it's so easy for us to do. It's just like, almost second nature.
Well, the friend always says, God really doesn't like that, Susan.
I'm a true believer. Actually.
We're just talking about people.
God's a wagging tongue is what it's referred to in the Bible.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. My friend, she says this, and I notice I've never heard her saying anything bad about anyone, and also that they live in extreme abundance, manifest beautifully, just things appear for them, then helpful things. And I thought, okay, that's interesting.
Well, I think we all know those people in our lives that very seldom can you get out of a conversation with them without them saying something bad about something or somebody. And we know how it can suck the energy right out of us, right? If we just think every one of us. And I think that's a really great testimony to how it can affect people around them and to be careful not to become that person.
Yes. Negative, angry, and as one gets older especially, it's easy to become bitter. I think a lot of people become bitter because they feel hard done by, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And that one, yeah. And right now, maybe people are becoming bitter even because they feel life hasn't gone their way.
No, another great scripture was, you know, one of Jesus' disciples asked him how many times should he forgive his brother. It was one of those great parables you were talking about. And Jesus said, 7 times 70. In other words, you keep forgiving them, and that forgiveness frees us to get rid of bitterness, to get rid of hate, to get rid of those anxious feelings. So it's just, again, I keep going back to him, but he's really clever, and he has some amazing insights that nobody had ever really spoken before.
They've never, ever spoken about that, because you're right. Now we feel like people hear that, don't they? Oh, forgiveness is a good thing, you know, and it just means it's a burden you're hanging on to. It's like
exactly.
a sack you're hanging on to, the resentment, the anger. But people do get like bent as they get older, don't they? And I'm sure that's why.
I believe so. I do. And really, forgiveness isn't for that person. It's for us.
Yeah. How does one forgive, though? It's easy to say, isn't it?
It's easy to say, but I think you forgive mm-hmm. by first thinking about what we're talking about right now
mm-hmm.
and how it can change our hearts, change the atmosphere in our homes, change how we handle people tomorrow. I think it just we have to think about how it's going to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we really receive that, then it's a lot easier to say, okay, I really, because saying it for, I forgive you is one thing. Meaning it is a completely different animal, right? So, yeah, I think thinking about how it can help would be a good beginning.
Well, that's a good tip. I'm wondering at this point if there's anyone wanting to talk to us or ask any questions. I'm thinking not yet, so that means we can keep going. This is my first my second live show, so I'm not sure at what point they do, but I'm sure I get told that.
We don't have any callers with questions right now. I'll keep monitoring and I'll send you a message if we do.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you, Nicole, because I guess everyone is just too full of hope, which is fine. Just to recap, if anyone's just joined, what we talked about, because we've talked about connecting to a source greater than yourself, and we have a Christian sitting here beside us who can advise us on that in Christianity, but there are many other faiths and ways of doing this for other traditions. Even meditating, as I've said, is connecting to a source greater to yourself, because you're opening yourself up through your magnetic connection in your brain to the greater universe. And also, remember that rotating iron core at the center of the earth is a dynamo itself. It's creating huge electromagnetic energy. You know, it extends up into the atmosphere called the magnetosphere, and it's so important for our neurological system, our nervous system, that astronauts, that they have to get this replicated for themselves, or else their neurological nervous systems would fail them. So being bathed in the Earth's magnetic field is rather like being fish in water. We have connections we don't even know about. We're floating around, we're swimming, and without being conscious of that support, without being conscious of the fabric of the support, the water we're floating in. However, when you think about it, it does supports us through gravity, or else we'll be floating off. The Earth supports us through the water, the food, the magnetosphere, electromagnetic energy of the Earth is essential for our nervous systems. The magnetic crystals in our brain connecting like a silicon chip, storing information and then connecting. Or like Wi-Fi. Think of Wi-Fi connecting everything. But it's not Wi-Fi, it's what we had before we invented Wi-Fi. It's actually our human DNA connection to energy. So we have support. We talked about calming, peace through connecting to the greater source, how Jesus was a pioneer of coming to all these ideas about, well, everything really. He's talking about non-judgment, about letting go of your burdens and your anger, forgiveness, to help ourselves, not for other people, though it's pretty good for them too, but to make us feel better. And that's what we're talking about right now. We want to feel better. We want to feel happier. So maybe difficult times of these are undoubtedly, maybe this is a time to actually focus on that. And pick someone you've been being annoyed with for years. I can name a few. Maybe I should start this process. You know, they're in the back of your mind, mm-hmm. And it's like, and you're almost happy to have a little grudge there because it's got its little box.
Right. It's so true.
It's comfortable, isn't it?
We spend time there more than we should, right?
Well, it's like a little box gift wrapped in the back of your psyche, and it's like, oh yeah, my grudges.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of part of your fabric that you need, but maybe it's time to unearth them. Mm-hmm. Unwrap them and dissolve them.
Your New Year's resolution.
Yeah, that's a much better one than something boring like stopping drinking. I think it's good. I like these resolutions.
That's
funny. So that was one. And then he also talked about what we now call the law of, law of attraction, right? The energy you give out, you get back. And that's like that with the judgment. Talking badly about people, which we all do. We're all, well, I'm always full of opinions about things anyway.
We all are. It's definitely one of those traits that we seem to all.
We all share that we one. We all share that one. It's a community thing. So that's interesting that he was a bit of a pioneer in all those
indeed
things.
Indeed, he was.
And so I should write a book about that, a little bit more hip and cool about how he invented those things before they were invented.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
During a time that was way different than now. It was very radical at that time.
Very, and so many different competing religious groups too.
Mm-hmm.
Like John the Baptist. Now, what about him? They say he was the real Jesus. Some people say that.
Oh, no, he wasn't.
He was.
He was Jesus' cousin. He basically came to introduce Jesus, basically. He was preaching the word before Jesus came and just laying the groundwork for people to meet him.
Laying the groundwork,
yes,
okay.
Yes.
And that's why, and he baptized Jesus, of course.
He did.
So that would make sense.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
That guy was even a little more radical in some ways.
Was he?
Yeah, hardcore. Yeah, very interesting to read about him.
Well, I like reading about the hardcore things, like when Jesus got genuinely angry in the temple, when they were the money lenders, the Jewish money lenders in the temple, and he went and he protested.
I love that story.
Yeah.
You know what I think I like the most about that story is that it's okay to be angry.
Mm-hmm.
It's not okay to sin, like be bad,
yeah,
but it's okay to be angry. There's occasion for righteous anger.
I like that too because it's genuine.
Absolutely.
Like if someone gets beaten, someone gets raped, yes, you get angry.
Absolutely.
You know, you don't need to turn it in on yourself and be guilty or depressed.
Mm-hmm.
There are occasions to get angry,
mm-hmm,
and then but it's over, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes we have to stand up for people.
Yeah, you stand up for,
or
money
ourselves.
Lending in
or
the
ourselves.
Temple or
sometimes.
Or ourselves,
mm-hmm,
totally appropriate, but that's okay. But what we tend to do, of course, is not do that and hold on to resentment,
mm-hmm,
for years.
Exactly.
Which is, so that was a good example. I love that story too because it's human and it's normal to get really angry occasionally. Someone tries to steal something from you, you can fight them and, you know, so it's not quite turn the other cheek there, was it?
It wasn't.
No.
Again, like I said, he was quite radical. And,
yeah.
But it, again, going back, you can get angry and you can stick up for yourself. We have to as women in the workforce, as you and I both know, or anywhere in our lives. But then we do have to forgive and let it go. And again, that's more for us.
Yeah. Yeah, that exactly. So that's one of the things to help transcend the chaos is be a little bit kinder, maybe, even though it's difficult because we're suffering more, I would say. But why not try that sort of in the law of attraction and just try it? And connect to the bigger force, give yourself time to do that through sitting and through that time. And then choosing someone to drop from my judgment files. Yes, I'll have to find the biggest one. I'll think about that one, reflect on that one.
Oh, I already have one top of mind.
Do you?
Of course. And it's a family member, so it's something that you can't, walk away from them.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm sure many people listening, we all have that, whoever that is.
They're all dead, mine.
Mine aren't.
Yeah.
But
it doesn't stop you, so it doesn't stop you holding resentment,
mind
you. No,
I just love them. And,
yeah.
And, anyways, I'm sure everybody right now is listening has at least one person in their heads they can think of. Could be a coworker that, or a boss or someone who, I'm sure we could go, hear any stories. It's a great place if someone wants to comment. Don't name names, but maybe name
how annoying they are.
Yes.
You can tell us.
Yes. My mother-in-law or whatever. It's not my mother-in-law, by the way. She's
awesome.
But anyway, I wanted to qualify that. So, I think that'd be a great takeaway from.
I think so too.
A good beginning.
A really good beginning for the new year because that's difficult.
It could be forgiving a political person as well. Completely take over your brain. And, all of us in the last how many years and even 48 hours, it's so easy to get judgmental, upset. And are we really going to allow that to affect our lives personally,
Yeah, you have a good point because I'm in Hong Kong. One of my patients came in saying that she was so upset about something, this issue. Yesterday or a couple of days ago, and I'm like, first of all, I hadn't heard the news. Secondly, I'm like, well, to be honest, I'm in a Susan bubble. I'm really trying now to do what I do really well, not be affected by this. Because what happened was, this is trouble with the news. You know, it's so upsetting. I get much more upset when I hear of natural disasters, actually, and people dying of starvation in Africa. But, of course, we're not hearing much about that now.
It's the worst in our lifetime right now in Ethiopia.
Is it in Ethiopia, yeah. Right? Oh, we're not even hearing about it.
Right, exactly.
I'm much more upset, but then it actually really does upset me, and I'm thinking that's not a good thing, because unless you do something about it, or you which you can, and you should do what you can, I have to get on with my life in a good way, right, to help other people. You have to be in a bit of a bubble, and it doesn't mean I'm hugely compassionate, but it means that you just focus more on what you can do in life, not what you can't do.
Right? I think that's so important. I think so many people get, I had a big call with my sister the other night, and she was so wound up. You know, they watched the news all day, and
wound up.
I couldn't even have a conversation with her about, hey, here's what's going on in my life, here's what's going on in your life. And
that's very sad. I agree. Yeah. It's taking over people's brains. Right. And I had a friend who watched COVID news all day and all night, and his wife couldn't cope, thinking of leaving him, because, as you say, things take over your brain. And that is actually getting a bit OCD, and it could be, it's not good. It's getting borderline mentally ill when it gets to that stage, frankly. Well, anxiety. So epidemics of anxiety, which we're all seeing now, but we're offering practical ways to block it out. Watching the news for 10 minutes a night surely is enough for anyone.
And it really goes back to forgive for us. Not for them. You're not letting people off the hook, but if it's affecting us that much.
If it's making you this anxious and you're thinking about it all day long.
Yeah.
And also I say to people, people got really worried about our protests in Hong Kong. You know, they thought we were all dying here. I said, well, seriously, if someone was protesting in a town, you know, 10 miles from you, it's not going to affect you because you're not in that town.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
We really do need to have a paradigm shift, don't we?
Yeah.
How we think about some of these big issues, because now that in the last 20 or 30 years, the way media has shifted, it is intense.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, and everyone's on, of course, we're on our phones and we're looking at it live almost. So it's real to us. But then we have to remember, actually, it's not real. Right now I'm looking at a garden with children playing and dogs.
Yeah.
That's what's real.
This is a great garden. I bring my dog here all the time.
You know, so it's really important to get that shift and actually get a grip. Get a grip on any manipulations. You know, through social media, you get fed back what you look at. So I get a lot of fashion.
It's funny, but we really could talk a whole hour just about this, couldn't we?
You're getting fed back. So you put your, it's what you put your energy in.
Mm-hmm.
What you put your energy into, like what you're, you know, will come back to you big time, and then you'll be convinced that's your reality. So I live in a nice bubble of, you know, floral prints, actually. No, I'm just joking. I live in a bit more of a bigger world than that. But so what I'm thinking is, I want to share my little light meditation with you because it's not very long. And then we'll wind up. So it has been shown that if we think about light, we actually emit more light from our DNA. So I'm just going to slowly start you on this. Can you imagine you're in a shower or a waterfall? Now, for those of us who love nature, I love the thought of being in a waterfall, okay? It's just like I'm in nature, it's warm, there's this waterfall coming down over my head. But you can also do this in the shower, and it's very practical because we take a shower every day. So you're in nature, there's this beautiful, clean water pouring down over your head. Of course, it's cleaning you, it's refreshing, it's cleaning you, it's going right through your body. You might want to, if you're not driving, I'm just starting magical. So it's right through.
through your body as well as outside your body. Cleansing, clearing, cleaning any tensions or tiredness from your body. It's going from the top of your head right through your body into the ground. And it's light as well as water, so there's a quality of that sparkling, shimmering, scintillating light. The light of a light beam, but this waterfall or shower is going through your body and it's shimmering little particles of sparkling light, scintillating all through your head. It's giving you energy at the same time as peace. In other words, it's giving you what you originally were. It's taking you back to the original, peaceful, healthy entity you were when you came into this world. It's resonating with every DNA of your body, every cell and organ of your body. And there's an endless stream from above as it goes down through your body. Continual stream in this magical waterfall, scintillating, shimmering, sparkling light. It's already cleansed everything in your body. Anything you don't need is going down into the river and it's being absorbed through the earth. And more light is poured down so your whole body becomes vibrant and light. Any darkness is pushed out of your body, any shadows, any disease, tiredness, stresses, anxiety, as your head and your brain become full of this white light. Your neck, shoulders and arms, it flows down your body, into your chest, low back, tensions flowing out, anxiety flowing out, and it fills up your abdomen, down to your hips and pelvis, thighs and lower legs, down through your body. So now you shimmering and resonating at this high frequency of light. You're connecting to whomever you're thinking about, your angel, the core energies of the earth. You might be thinking about Jiva or Buddha. You're connecting to a force greater than yourself. And you know that just by doing this exercise, you've raised your vibrational frequency onto a level of the light. And you're happy to sit here feeling relaxed, knowing that it's a constant stream. With every breath you take, you're sucking more down through your head into your body. The breath being the difference between life and death. The breath being the flow of life itself. And it continues to flow. And you may choose to sit here for a little bit longer. Or as you choose, come back by taking a deep breath. And then you can do this again. I recommend you do this twice a day. When you wake up, to set your intent for a wonderful day, and when you go to sleep. So we're going to say goodbye from the Light Doctor Show. If you'd like to say goodbye, Pam.
Goodbye, everybody. Have a wonderful night or day wherever you are in the world.
Thank you, Pamela Wallace. Success.
coach and worship leader in the church. And I'm going to say goodbye. I hope these tips have helped you. There's some definite things you can hang on to here today. Bye from the Light Doctor.
News for the Soul Radio will begin its 24th year of broadcasting in January 2021. After nearly a quarter of a century of grassroots investigation and exploration into the unknown and lesser-known realms to discover what's really real and what's really possible, with News for the Soul founder journalist Nicole Marie Whitney at the helm, we now find ourselves here in this pivotal moment in human history. Staying in our power and in our hearts is more crucial than ever. We are continuing to work 24/7 at News for the Soul to uncover truths and techniques to best maneuver through challenging times. We are increasing our broadcasting hours to support and serve in the highest way possible. Tune in daily to discover hosts and radio shows, and also to hear Nicole Marie's latest cutting-edge interviews with luminaries of our times speaking to what's happening in our world today from a conscious perspective. Community, consciousness, and positive empowered focus are crucial. We are here for you. Go to newsforthesoul.com to find out more. That's newsforthesoul.com, and spread the word so others can avail themselves to this free resource as well. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.